welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. There's a fundraiser on April 1st that's bound to attract some attention in Muncie because of who's in charge. In Muncie, it seems like everybody has heard of Bibi Bahrami. She's active on boards all over the place, especially with immigration issues and international students in this college town. She's the founder of AWAKEN, which stands for Afghan Women's and Kids Education and Necessities. The group works to help women and children in that country become literate, healthy, and self-sufficient, especially in Bibi's former village. Their 15th annual fundraising dinner with authentic Afghan cuisine is April 1st. Details are at awakeninc.org. Bibi came to the United States after fleeing the Russian invasion of her native Afghanistan. She spent 6 years in a refugee camp, and her story of that time is something you'll hear today. But first, we asked about the group she founded to help women and children back in Afghanistan.
When I started AWAKEN, it was right after 9/11. And when I first came to this country, I did not have formal education and I attended adult ed. And I was very inspired by the opportunities and the system that provided here for me. And I wanted to go back and give it to the girls I left behind. And when 9/11 happened, it was such a right timing for the people in Afghanistan because President Bush was encouraging us to let's rebuild Afghanistan. And there was some hope after many years of Soviet invasion, and we lost, the whole country was destroyed. Over 80% of buildings were destroyed, and we lost a lot of people. And this was such a great opportunity to start building, starting the organization during that time after 9/11. And the other reason was to participate in the rebuilding process, and which my wish and dream was to give back to the community I left behind.
Talk about AWAKEN and the work that you do.
In the village where I am from, there was no school for the girls and boys, especially in the area. And that was one of my wish to provide a school building in the area. Their kids were sitting on the floor, and we had to hire a person for them to put them in the structure and teach them. That was the first goal. We raised money to build the actual building to have a shelter and from the sun and the heat, from the cold. We did that in 2004. We were able to have some enough fundraising to build that. That was one of our goals. The second goal was vocational training, as I was inspired by the opportunity here in the adult education program to provide these women with the basic education to care for their child, to just simply hygiene and nutritious and understanding. Because kids die like age of five, I think it's 1 out of 5 children dies before the age 5 from the simple diarrhea and dehydration and cold and
lack
fevers.
Of clean water.
Clean
right.
Water, exactly. And to provide those for the woman, and also we're providing sewing classes for them that they can sew and become self-sufficient to provide for their families. A lot of women, they have no income. At least they have some earning coming to sew, like somebody sew for me, then I'll pay them. We did that, and then the third education was the healthcare, and I think that's something, witnessing some of these, myself, even my sister-in-law died giving a child birth, and I was caring for my nephew. Witnessing that and not having much opportunities for women, they give birth in the house, and they live in pain, they wake up in pain, there is no way of going to doctor, they have bladder infection, they have tooth infection, they just have to live with it and the nature take care of it. And it was saying, we really need to do something about the healthcare. If we can provide very basic healthcare in the area, and then we decided to build a clinic there. In the area, because there was, at least they can walk, whether it's 2 hour walking distance. Some woman walks for 2 hours with nothing much in their stomach, very, very minimum surviving diet, and then walking and then going back for 2 hours, then waiting sometime for another 2 hours to be seen because of the demand. But it's still, as a as a parent, you feel good when you go and visit, take your child somewhere for help. Like, at least you did something, you know something. Like, I witnessed a woman, like, a child is dying in their lap, and the tears are falling, and they have no idea why my child is dying from. I mean, it's just so sad. At least if they take them to the doctor, and they tell them he has a fever or he was whatever, they feel good as a parent. And for that reason, witnessing the death of my sister-in-law and then the children that if you see cemetery full of this, we started with the clinic. And we were able to, with the blessing and the community support, build the clinic by 2008.
You lost your sister-in-law?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I witnessed that.
What happened?
We were in the refugee camp. She was giving birth to her third child. And usually they give birth at home, and the woman's there is like some kind of experienced woman, like not a midwife, but similar to that. And she was helping her, and I think her birth was so difficult, and it took a long time, and she was bleeding so much. And I witnessed her pain and her screaming. I would just go, I mean, I was a young girl, but still, like, sometimes they don't let the young girls go inside the birthing place. Only the experienced woman can go. And I would just be listening to the door and so concerned. That's my personality. I just, even when I was young, and going back and forth very nervously and feeling sorry for her. And then they decided that it's not, nothing is going to happen. We have to take her to the hospital because she was really kind of pacing out and bleeding too much. And then by the time they brought the car and took her to the hospital, like the hospital is far away in the city, and this was in the camp. And she died on the way. And that was such a tragic experience in my life.
Bibi Bahrami, founder of the group Awaken, which helps Afghan women and children. Coming up, what it's like to run for your life, carrying everything you own at age 13.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
At a very young age, you had to flee your country, and you went to a refugee camp.
Yeah, I flee my country. I was at age of 13, and as my life was kind of upside down, and then lived in the refugee camp for over 6 years, and before I came to the United States.
I guess most Americans don't know the geography. How far from the Pakistani border were you? How long of a trip was that to get to safety? Do you remember when that happened? You were 13, and was it in the middle of the night or the morning or when you finally left?
Actually, well, my father was not home. He was on a business trip, and on the way coming home, the reporter, he knew a lot of people. He was pretty famous in the area. He had good friends. He was a good person. And someone told him, they who really care about him, that they're thinking to come to your house tomorrow. My older brother was with a freedom fighter. And they have heard that our family is involved with that. And they're coming to our house to burn our house, the Soviet, Russian. And then as we were left like on a tablecloth sitting eating, my father, when he came home, and the next morning, like early in the morning, that was at night when he came home, but like by 4 o'clock in the morning we left home before anybody wakes up. It was like in the night, I think 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, if I recall it, and we left our home. We went on a very different route that they don't catch us on the way, or they don't notice us, and a different route in a car. We rented car to certain places, and we did some stay in some people, and then on the way. And then we went through the mountain, that there was no government, that the Russian cannot see us. And through the mountain, and actually we spent the night in the middle of the mountains halfway to Pakistan. This whole day from 3 to, we spent the night. Then the next evening, it was 2 days and a night before we reached the refugee camp. And somebody gave us a night in between the mountains. We were so grateful for that. And one ironic story was, we had my father always had some rooms outside of his house for some homeless people, some people who were traveling. There is no hotels in the village, in the area to stay. He would let them stay there and spend the night and rest, and they can leave the next day. And we had a woman who was staying in those places. She didn't have her family. We took her with us. And I always tell people that that's another thing to understand somebody's situation. When we were leaving in the morning from this house, they gave us some breakfast, some dry cornbread, and this lady took some cornbread and put it in her bag. I didn't know she had done it, but that's what later, when she gave it to us, that's what she said. And I always think about her as I see she been through it. She knew that these kids will get hungry on the way and they will need it. She went through difficulties before. We had not experienced that. My mother didn't think about doing that. I mean, my father didn't think about it, but she put some in her bag when you were in the middle of the mountain. There's no place to eat, there is no water. And she took, we looked for the running water in the mountain, the noise, to find it, and it didn't care if it was clean. We just had to survive and drink it. And then she took this bread out, and it was the best taste that you ever had. And that was the bread we will not eat in the house before we left. And the house, if that was my mom gave us, we will say, no, this is, we don't want to eat that. But when you really get hungry and you're in need, we ate the bread and enjoyed it, and I still remember the taste. Then we traveled to the refugee camp. We were in the beginning, the first couple years we were in the tent and hoping that the Soviet, we can go back to our homes. And as it was taking more than that and we were losing so many people, I lost my dear brother who was very, very dear to me in the fighting. And I lost my brother-in-law, my grandfather was killed. We lost a bunch of our family members. And that then we decided to build like at least mud homes, like from the bricks and mud places. Like more formal rooms and kitchen and the bathrooms, and just that we can live a little comfortably, unfortunately. But I lived there for 6 years and tried to survive. I helped a lot in the refugee camp, and as a matter of fact, that's how I met my husband there. He was volunteering, and I was helping a lot with the refugee, the women who needed like a shot on a daily basis for the tuberculosis. In the refugee camp, all kinds of classes were put together there. And there were a lot of sicknesses. There was no schooling for girls. If there was, some mother were not letting their girls to go because of security reasons. All kinds of people were there to let the girls walk. You don't know how she comes back. But I took advantage of my time to study from my brother lessons in the evening and try to volunteer. I did artwork, drawing and netting, and just helped the elderly in the refugee camp.
Bibi Barami, the wife of Muncie physician Sabir Barami, the two met in a refugee camp after she fled Afghanistan at age 13. She spent 6 years there, and the experience shaped her view of the world. She's now a volunteer on many local boards in Muncie and at Ball State, where she focuses on issues involving international students. She's also the founder of Awaken, a group that works to help women and children in Afghanistan become literate, healthy, and self-sufficient. Their 15th annual fundraising dinner with authentic Afghan cuisine is April 1st. Details are at awakeninc.org. That's awakeninc.org.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
But you basically grew up from age 13 to age 19.
In the refugee camp, yeah. And I really, to be honest, I still remember, even though the difficulties of the surviving matter, but the enjoyment, I still remember the enjoyment part of it, that I was helping others, I was trying to make the best out of the tent. I was always very creative, like to add some wall. My mother and my older sister, we created some wall on the side of the tent after the second year, like to make it higher, that we don't touch it, we can sit nicely and enjoy the comfort a little bit. And we would just come up with the idea, like just the basic canes And even with the boxes, we cut the boxes and we made like a decorated piece to hang in those tents to make it pretty. And we made a fence, like a hand fence, out of the boxes. We were like very creative, like still enjoying the firework, the cooking, and sometimes people tell me, I haven't gone camping in America for the last 30 years. And my husband sometimes says, let's go camping. I say, I have done enough camping in my life. It's not a desire that I would like to do. I might enjoy it, but I want to take a break from that for a while.
You know, I think everybody who knows you remembers your smile and your great spirit. You're probably that way naturally, but did that experience, do you think, make you more grateful for just regular life?
I strongly believe in that, personally. I respect all people, all walks of life, and I'm a very positive person, and I see good in each and every one of us. But the biggest thing is I am always very grateful. I don't know, John. I mean, this is something, even if you give me a sip of water, I'm very grateful. My heart is just thinking, like it just naturally comes out of me. Just, this is my personality. And I think that's one of the reasons my respect to others, and as I got the respect back from my community, because I truly believe in my community, I truly believe to make it a light for not only myself, but for my neighbors, for my entire community.
You're still helping people. You started helping, you were helping people as a child at home and in the camps, and you help people now. You work to help people understand the Muslim faith and the perspective of Muslims. Tell me about that a little bit. What's that like?
As you probably heard, there's a lot of misunderstanding about Muslim. It's very, very unfortunate. As I was much inspired by the opportunities and the willingness and the beautiful country, the civilized and the volunteerism of this country, it's just like I call this my country. I don't call any other places my country. I have lived here the most, and I am proud to be the citizen of this country. I chose it by choice. Nobody had forced me. I chose it by choice. And this is my message to all my Muslim friends and families and community members. And then the one thing that I truly was, it always bothers me, that when there is a Muslim act, a person who acts, who is from a different nationality, or he may be by name Muslim, and then they blame the whole race because he was Muslim. And it's a truly, I always give advice to my Christian, Jewish, all my friends, that if he was Muslim, he would not be committing such an act. If he was Christian, he would not be committing such an act. And if he was Jewish or any believer, truly believer, but religion has been misused and abused for particular agendas and people's interests, unfortunately. And I said, this is one thing I don't like when they generalize like Muslim are all terrorists, or they make that kind of statement. And that's what I wanted to go against, that, you know, like not all Muslims are that way.
You wear a head covering. Are you ever hassled? Are people ever mean to you?
No, it has not been, thank God. That doesn't speak for other Muslims. I mean, there have been attacks. My own daughter-in-law was recently told in the parking lot in Walmart, what are you doing here? You should go back to your country. And you know, she got so scared. It was like in the evening. And I think...
Was that around here? Was that
in Muncie.
In Muncie?
Yeah, Walmart.
And so you've heard of this happening to people.
Oh, I have heard many, many stories, unfortunately.
And more recently.
Mm-hmm. More recently, exactly. Unfortunately. I think what it is... As if our leaders make a statement, they should be example to the whole us. And if they can make those kind of statements, general population will do a right and left. I mean, it's so easy to do that. And especially those people who are not educated, who don't understand, who don't know Muslim in their life. And sometimes I don't blame those individuals who make those kind of statement. As I was sitting in one of my peace class in Ball State, we were talking about this understanding Muslim, and there's so much misunderstanding. And on my right side, there was a girl sitting. She said, my parents hate Muslim. And on my left side was a boy, and he said the same thing. And they said, no matter how much we try to tell them, because these kids knew better, they were educating, they were sitting in the class with me, they've seen some Muslim, they knew me very well. And they said that they just can't help their parents because they're so stubborn, and all they watch is the Fox News, and that's what they base on. And this is sad. I mean, they should. I say, I would love to meet with them. I would love to invite them to my house. I would love to meet with them, reach out to them, not to have that hate in their heart, just for their sake. Why should they have this hate? I say, I would like to meet with them. So, no, they will not even meet with you.
Talking today with Bibi Bahrami, who spent her teen years in a Pakistan refugee camp after fleeing the Russian invaders of her native Afghanistan. At the camp, she met her future husband, Sabir, and the two now live in Muncie, where they raised six children and are busy volunteers. She's on boards all over the community, at Ball State, with the city, and the Muslim community, the Islamic Center. But I wanted you to hear the backstory of how a girl forced to run for her life at age 13, who saw family members die, spent 6 years in very tough conditions in a refugee camp, could grow from that, carry an outlook of compassion and caring for her community and for the people of the village where she came from. That's the story I wanted you to hear. Bibi Bahrami would like you to know about the fundraising dinner that her group, Awaken, is holding April 1st. Details are at their website, awakeninc.org. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.